Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are here Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sundays from 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so excited, and we are happy. We are exceedingly happy that the Lord has granted us one more day, a new day, to be in the land of the living, so that we can testify and we can glorify his name and terrify his enemy, our enemy, the devil. We are excited. Glory to God. We are going to go into worship. We're thanking God and praising God for Apostle Linda Washington, Apostle Stewart, and all the saints of the Lord, Minister Ondeer, Brother Deacon Fraser, Apostle Millie Jefferson. And we're praising God for healing for her sister. Oh, Lord God, for Pastor Joyce Stewart, Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Sheila. We just thank God for all the saints that come on and fellowship with us. Prophetess Cheryl Kershey. We just thank God for all the saints that come on and fellowship with us from time to time and give God praise. You know. We deem it an honor and a privilege to come and worship and bow down before him in the morning. We're going to go ahead and put on the worship, let the worship pray for a little while. I have a doctor's appointment today, so if the Lord say the same, we're going to release a word, get out of here, and go get checkup. God bless you. So let's go into worship, Caribbean style.
I got things, but when you move up.
lover of my soul. Through your love, everything that good and I hold. This world we're living in is full of fear. Only through your love we can do everything for me.
Shall go up, and this will never be released. Thank you. Thank you.
A prophetess, you're a righteous person, you're in his peace. How you know that? Because you're going to be with your Savior. You are a righteous person. Hallelujah. You are the one that God used in the earth realm. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for giving us clear understanding of what you are saying to us. O God, we come this morning humbly as we know how. O God, we ask that you look beyond our faults and see our needs this morning. Father, that you would speak to us and speak through us. We come in with a heart of repentance, O God. We start this morning on the bed, as always, Lord, asking you to forgive us, even as we forgive others that that trespass against us, Lord. We ask you not to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Father, we say this morning, glory, hallelujah, amen. That's what we say this morning to you, Lord. We give you the highest praise this morning, as always, because you are our sovereign God. You are the mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, we just ask that you would just look upon us, O God, and rest your hands upon us this morning, God. We need a touch, O God, like never before, God. Lord, your touch yesterday was good, Lord, but we need a greater touch today, Lord. We need a touch that would take us through this day, O God, that we would glide through this day with holiness, righteousness, O God, with peace in our hearts, O God, with a sense of understanding that we are yours, a sense of knowing that we are yours and you are mine, you are ours, O God. Lord, we just ask that you bless this word. Bless my eyes to see what you show me this morning and my ears to hear what you speak to me this morning, my tongue to speak it, O God. Because this is the clear that you have formed together to make the eyes and the ears and the lips, O God, and the tongue to speak to your people, O God, this morning. We come humbly, Lord, and we beseech you as our sovereign God. Mighty God, we ask you to stretch your hand over this United States of America, Lord. And as you stretch your hand out, God, touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress and the senators and the Supreme Court justice, the police department, God. Touch those in the streets, the prostitutes, the homosexuals, the lesbians, the fornicators, the adulterers, the thieves, oh God, the gangbangers, the dope pushers, oh God, the single mothers, oh God, the single fathers, oh God. We ask you to touch the housewives, the house husbands, Lord. Touch this morning, Lord God. Touch the boys and girls, oh God, in the schools. Touch the teachers. Touch the EMTs and the doctors and nurses, God. I see that the nations are crying out that they lack of doctors and nurses. People are resigning and leaving their posts and decide they don't want to do it anymore, Lord God, because of mandate. They decide to just quit their jobs, Lord, and people are suffering because they have no one to give them medical attention. Oh, Father, we just ask this morning, oh God, that you just touch the hearts and minds of people, that they would return to their rightful positions, oh God. Lord, touch the one with the evil heart this morning, that his heart would be softened. Her with an evil heart, that her heart would be softened, oh God, to return to you, to come to you, Lord God, to allow you to draw them, oh God, and stop rejecting you this morning, that you may speak, oh God, peace to their heart this morning, and draw them into the kingdom, oh God, to do kingdom business, Lord. We thank you this morning. Protect my wife as she go this morning to go to visit with her mother. Oh, Father, we just pray this morning for the highways and the byways, the airways and waterways, oh God, the trailways, Lord, this morning. We just pray this morning for peace in our nation. We pray for Ukraine. We pray for Russia. We pray for China, Germany, India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Iran. We pray for Syria, Lord. We pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray, God, for all the continent of Africa, Lord God. We just pray this morning for the Caribbean, for Canada. We pray for the whole world, oh God, because we know your hand can reach from north to south, from east to west, oh God, and nothing is hidden from you, Lord. You see all, you know all, and you can do all. We thank you this morning for being our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. This morning, I'm doing the last part of this short series that the Lord has given to us, because we have somewhere else that the Lord wants us to go. And you know, we always declare that we're going to do what the Lord said to do, and we do exactly that. Even if our spirit feel that we should stay here for a while, don't go there. We just want to do what he said to do, because he is our commander and he is our chief. This morning we are going into chapter 10 of Daniel, and we are talking about praying and fasting are the keys to a greater discernment. And here in the book of Proverbs chapter 2, he begins this chapter. We only going to do about 5 or 6 verses here. He begins this chapter with saying, he says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my words, my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. He said, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for his treasures, thou shalt, then shalt thou understand and fear the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Oh, this is so powerful. God said, now we have to seek this thing. We have to go after this thing. Remember, we keep quoting that verse from Matthew chapter 5. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. He said, you have to seek this thing. You got to seek it. Like if you're going after silver or gold or some precious treasure, you have to seek this thing. It's hard for us to turn our plate down. I talked about that last night Pastor Vic Lang. It is hard for us to turn our plate down. The Lord just dropped in my spirit last night. He said, Saturday you will begin a 21-day fast. I said, okay, Lord. And I got to give my honey instruction, because the moment I say fast, it seemed like the adversary always tell her, go buy this, go buy that, all the stuff that she know I like. You know, the little candy bars and the cookies and the cake, the pound cakes and all that kind of stuff. The glazed cake and stuff, you know, I like that stuff, you know. I don't eat a lot, but you know, I like it. If it come in the house, I'm going to have a piece at night. I might have a slice at night or in the afternoon or in the morning with my tea, you know. You understand? So I have to give her instructions, because the Lord says, Father, I must start a 21-day fast. If I want this wisdom, if I want this knowledge, if I want this understanding like Daniel, I have to fast. I have to go, I'm just talking about me now. I got to go in and fast, and I got to turn my plate down at least three parts of the day. Hallelujah. I got to turn the plate down, and then even all through the day, I got to stay in the word of God, and I have to seek him like I'm seeking for silver or precious gems. You know, I got to seek him. And he says, I go to hide it in my heart. See, this thing is not just getting the precious stone, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. It's not just getting it. He said, once you get it, you got to hide it in your heart. He said, you got to hide it in your heart. You got to maintain this word of God in your heart like a precious jewel. You got to maintain it there. It's got to stay in there. You know, we get a scripture and say, Lord, this scripture is so good. And it entices us to jump up and scream and run and shout and all that kind of stuff. But then after we shout one day, we forget about it. God said, no, we got to hide this thing. This is like a precious gem. You know, I know your husband come home and say he was planning for a while and he been saving up for a while, trying to get you this stone, this diamond, because you know you always love a nice diamond. And he said one day he didn't tell you, he didn't say, you didn't say to him, I'm going to get you this fancy watch or something, or a nice gold bracelet or something. But anyway, we save up that stuff, and when the day comes, we just come and say, honey, I got you a little gift. And we just say, why did you dig out that? Because I've been saving it for, and then I give it to her, you give it to him, or give it to her. And Lord God, it is so precious to them. And excited for that one day or 2 days. And then it seemed like they didn't get it. They just forget about how precious it was when they first got it. God said this thing got to be special to you, so special that you hide it in your heart, that it's always there. It's always there. When you need, you can pull it up. And from time to time, you dust it off. How do you dust it off? You go back into the Word. You go into the Word. Hallelujah. And you dust it off, and you start to recite the scripture all over again, because you know how good it is to you, how good it is. It's precious to you. Hallelujah. So I hide it in my heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, and I would not sin against thee. The word got to be in the heart. Let's go into Daniel. Look at this last as it just blessed me in the NLT. In the NLT. Daniel chapter. I read a few chapters last night. So let's go in here, Daniel chapter. Daniel is a messenger. Daniel is a prophet. He is a seer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a one that's getting message from God. He seeks God to get the right message for God's people. How we expect that this, we're just going to open the Bible and say, when I open the Bible, what have I seen? I start out. That's what people say. What have I opened? When have I turned the page? What have I come to? I start out. And that's what I meditate on. But is that where God wants you to be? Have we asked God, Lord, is this, Father, is this where you want me to study today? Is this what you want me to meditate on today? Is this what you want me to give your people today? because we opened the page. Well, when I opened the page, I was right there in Genesis, and I, oh my Lord, and it was just so this. No, but did God say? Did we talk to God about it? Did we inquire of God? Is this what you want me to study on today? Because He'll speak to you. He said, if you call, He will answer, and He will show you great and mighty things, things that you have, we have no knowledge of. So what we got to do? When we turn the page and open it, and the scripture look good, sound good to us, we ought to ask God, say, Father, is this what you want me to really study today? Is this what you want me to meditate on today? Is this what you want me to hide in my heart today? Put in your spiritual bank account? Is this what you want to put in? You want me to put in? Is this what you want me to deposit today, Lord? I had this scripture written down. I got a bunch of them written down. But the Lord, I was studying. I studied, I think, chapter 10 and 11 last night. But this is what the Lord says today. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, that's the word always tangled my tongue, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future times of war and great hardship. God is allowing Daniel to see things that is far ahead, but they're going to come to pass. Sometimes we prophesy and we tell people some stuff, and they just push their lips up because they don't really believe that we're seeing and hearing what God is saying. And they don't prepare themselves for the things that are happening or that the same things that are going to happen. Glory to God. They're just running through this tulips like little kids. They're not preparing themselves when God says we ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. We ought to be full armored continually for anything that happens. We ought to get ourselves ready and stay ready. No, Daniel says, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, have been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. This morning now is talking about fasting. But here in this NLT, he called it mourning. He was in mourning for 3 weeks. Do you know that every time you make a decision to go into fasting or mourning, like Daniel said here in the NLT, that you're going to have an attack? It's going to come from on your job site. It's going to come from your family members. It's going to come from your mate, your friend, just your casual associate. It's going to be attacked because we have decided that we're going to fast in prayer. We're going to pray and fast. We're going to seek God because we want to hear more. We want God to widen or enlarge our territory. We want God to enlarge our understanding of His Word. We want God now, it's like having a bread on the table and we don't know how we want to cut it. How many pieces we want to sever the bread into? How many people are going to dip their bread in the stew? I know sometimes we go to a restaurant and they go to, I don't know the name of the bread, but it looks like a wheat bread. But it has a sweetness in it, like it was baked with honey. And it's sweet. And sometimes while we are waiting for the supper, oh, my wife or her mother would say, look, we need to get some more of this bread. You know, they'll bring us I don't know how many, a basket full. Enough for 4 people. But we'll find ourselves that same, we need another basket, or sometimes 2 more baskets will come because the bread is so good. Hallelujah. And that's the same way. We got to go in there and we got to dissect this thing. Be mourning. We're seeking God. All the time, I have eaten no rich food. No meat or wine crossed my lips. And I use no fragrance. Now lotion until those 3 weeks had passed. Daniel had kept himself away from the folk. He was spending time with the Lord, wanting to hear from the Lord. No, we can't stay up. We can't stay in intact with God because we have to run with this body and run with that body. We got to go here and get it. There's times that we have to spend time with the Lord because I want to hear from Him. When I go into the Lord's, I'm saying this to you all because the Bible said we should keep this thing between us and the Lord. But you are my family. We are family. And we can share this between family. When I establish fast on Sabbath, I'm not going to be doing too much talk on the phone. Yes, I'm going to be on Blog Talk. I might preach one day or two day, depending on what the Lord says. I might not preach at all if I get somebody to preach. You know, depending on how the Lord leads me. But because I want more. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And I can't get it unless I make a sacrifice. I got to be obedient, and I got to make a sacrifice. The important thing is obedience to God, not the sacrifice. The obedience was important. And then I sacrificed my time. I'm not going to be watching a whole lot of TV. If any, I don't watch too much TV. I just watch news anyway. And I don't watch news on TV. I watch news on my phone because they don't get the right stuff on TV anymore. One time they used to give good news, the truth. Now they're compromising the truth to you with it they want you to hear. But let's go into the Word and just take our time through this Word. Daniel says he didn't eat or drink anything for 3 weeks had passed. On April the 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing. This linen clothing represents a holy man. Okay, it's holiness, righteousness. With a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze. Where else do you hear this word? In the book of Revelation, talking about Jesus. In the book of Revelation. And his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. See, sometimes people of God, that you, the anointing that's on your life and the way that you are seeking God and going after God, that God only allows you to see things that nobody around you can see or hear. Do you know that? You'll be hearing things and the folk around you can't hear. And you'll be seeing things they can't see. You might look up to the clouds, and God allows you to see a figure in the clouds, and other people are standing there with you. They're sitting in the car. They're outside the car. They're on a rock, wherever you are. And you say, do you see that man in the clouds? Do you see that man on the horse? And they're looking where they can't see. Because they don't. Their spiritual eyes have not been opened. They have not spent enough time for God to remove the scales off their eyes so they can see what they should see. When Paul was on his way to Damascus seeking to get information to find the Christians to lock him up, guess what? He was knocked off of his the animal, horse, donkey, mule, or whatever. He was knocked off, fell to the ground. And Paul heard a voice and saw a light from heaven. Nobody else from Paul could see or hear. When Paul raised it off the ground, he was blind. God had to blind him to the world. Take away his earthly sight so he could get heavenly sight. And once you get heavenly sight, you begin to see things that God will show you, things that nobody else around you. They've been in ministry with years with you, but they have not committed and submit and committed, like Bishop James said. They have not submitted or committed their life to God. Give God the whole, the completeness. So God don't reveal that stuff to them. They see a little bit of stuff. They hear a little bit of stuff. But they don't see the stuff that they really want to see, need to see. We have to spend time in his presence. The Bible said in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are presence forevermore. We have to spend time to see what did Moses do? He go up to Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, same mountain, to spend time with God. He go up there to spend time with God. And people begin to complain and worry, murmur, where's this Moses? But see, Moses want more from God. He want more from God. He wants to lead the people right. And if you want to lead God's people right, you're going to have to spend time. We're going to have to spend time. We are leaders. None of us are greater than the other one. Some of us may be more fluent than the other, but that don't make you better. Don't make me better. You may know more Greek and more Hebrew than I do, but that don't make you better than that. That don't make your anointing stronger than my anointing. Because if we have the same God, we ought to have the same kind of anointing. Hallelujah. Some preachers are stronger than some preachers because some preachers are spending more time with the Lord. That's the key. You're spending more time in His presence, and you're constantly sanctifying yourself by the truth, the Word. And not only just studying the Word, but using, living the Word, because you can study from morning to night till the sun goes out, and if you don't live it, live the Word, you're not going to accomplish anything. You've got to live it. And that's the problem that we find today. CNN and NBC and ABC and CNBC, the SNBC or whatever it is, they are making fun of Christians. And a woman was talking to him and said, and even the Christians are on that stuff now. That's what they're saying. Because they see that the Christians they're seeing the Christians again caught up in the foolishness that all of this marching stuff and foolish stuff that they're doing. And not doing it with the right mindset. See, BLM, you see what's going on with them now? Because they didn't have the right mindset. People think, well, it was right. They wouldn't do nothing for the people. They were doing stuff for themselves. That's why I never get caught up with it. I never get tuned into it. Because God allowed me to see. They weren't about truth and justice. They were calling truth and justice, but they wasn't about it. They was about their pocketbook so they can buy their million-dollar homes and drive them fancy cars for hundreds of thousands of dollars of cars while people are suffering and not helping the neighborhoods. No. Look, watch here. Darius says, only Isaiah saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. Remember, the people with Paul saw, they were terrified. Because this great man of God, this great man who taught that he was doing all this stuff for God, now he's on the ground and he can't see. He's feeling on the ground. He's feeling around. So they know that something has happened to him. Saul was a great man. He spoke a lot of different languages. He was great. He was strong. He was really educated. But when God touched him, he was like a baby. And then once he come out of that stuff and begin to go down to Ananias, and Ananias laid hands on him and the scales drop off his eyes. Even Ananias was afraid of him first because he heard about Saul. See, people don't be afraid of us because they knew the life that we used to live. And when we proclaim in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, that he is our King, he is our sovereign Lord, they have to look at us twice because I know him was in the crack house. I know she was selling her body. I know he was this and she was that. That's the way that they refer to us. Because they don't believe that we are filled with the anointing. They don't believe that the Holy Ghost is a filled our vessel. Our veins is overflowing with the anointing. They don't believe that. That's why God wants to, he wants to show us off now. Because he put us back on the potter's wheel and he's put us wrong. And he's filling all the crevices of our lives. And he's still filling us in. But we're at a point where he can show us off. Darius said, nobody has heard. They begin to be terrified. They ran to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale. And I felt very weak. See, when God takes you to a place that you've never been before, you begin to get weak first. That's the first thing happened. I want you to understand that. You begin to feel fragile. You begin to feel like you're going to fall apart. And then he fed you with what you need. Ah, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you. Then I heard the man speak. Listen to me. And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted. I lay there with my face to the ground. Humbleness. Couldn't even look at him. You remember when the Pharisee and the ordinary person, I got to say it this way, when they went into the temple to pray, What the ordinary man is. He didn't even look up to look to God. He stepped back, which didn't even go too close to the altar. And he began to confess his sin. But the Pharisee would beat his chest and say he paid his tithes, he did all this stuff. He didn't have a heart of repentance, and it wasn't humble. We got to forget, because that we can read Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all this kind of stuff, we got to still stay humble. Stay in that mindset of humility. Daniel's face is to the ground. His face is pale. You can't see no blood in his face. His face got pale. Because this sight that he's seen is so amazing. That's an amazing sight. Daniel is in fasting. He's praying and fasting. Because he wants to hear from God. But now suddenly this thing is happening. This sight is being revealed to him. God is showing up to him alone in the sea. The whole splendor of who he is. And his terrifying Daniel. The people that were with him, they ran off. Because this is an awesome, awesome sight. They hear this thing. See this? They're not seeing. But they're hearing his voice, I believe. And they took off. Daniel said he could see nothing. But something happened. They took off. And Daniel fell to the ground, fainted. And he laid with his face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me. See? Daniel was weak. Fasting. You know, you get weak first while you're fasting. Fainted. And this hand touched him and lifted him, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to Daniel, "You are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up. For I have been sent to you." Remember yesterday we talked about the angel Gabriel? When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." Do you know a lot of times we are praying and we are wondering, did God hear me yet? What is something in happening? Listen. Daniel is still in prayer. Daniel was still on his knees. The angel told him to get up from the first day, but you began to pray because God sees your heart. You are very precious to God. This is a place that every believer should put your name in your Bible. Hallelujah. I can't read it because it's on my computer. But let me go. Just wait right there. Don't go nowhere. Don't leave me. Be going somewhere. You know, I got to put this in. I know so much. I know this word is a powerful anointed word because, you know, how the enemy comes in and he say to me, and you don't need to go on blood talk today. You got a doctor's appointment. You ought to relax. You ought to relax and let your blood pressure just settle out. And all that stuff he was saying. I could hear that old stufa. And guess what? I said, okay, Sid, I hear you. But guess what I got to do? I got to do what the Lord said, not what you say. Daniel, he told Daniel, don't be afraid. He told Daniel that he is very precious to God. Man, look. You got to see this thing in verse 11. Okay? David, I'm going to put my name right there. David. Hallelujah. You got to, I'll probably get my Bible and open my Bible and run back there to see where it's at. You are very precious to God. Think about all that you are going through and all that you have been through, but you're still in the land of the living. I hear Bishop James, my brother and my friend in New Orleans, Louisiana, Slidell, Louisiana. always testify. He don't know how powerful that testimony is. I mean, I would say that, but I know he know. Forgive me, my brother. He said he had 3 heart attacks. Why is he still here? He's 78 years, I think, or 76 or 70 years. And he's still here. Why is he still here? Because he's precious to God. God still has need of him. The angel told Daniel, you are precious to God. So listen carefully. Look, don't, there's no mistake about it, Daniel. Don't try to figure it out. He said, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your requests have been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. What a powerful thing. That when we pray with a humbleness of heart, God dispatched the angel according to Psalm 91 to take charge, to defend us, to fight for us, to stand for us, to stand in the midst of the battle that we are facing. He stands and fights the battle for us. We can't see. Many times you are going places and you get in your car to drive down a highway that people are crashing all the time. People are shooting over the highway. They're doing all type of stuff, but you pass through safely. Why? Because the angels go ahead of your car, ahead of your motorcycle, ahead of whatever you're driving, your truck, whatever. They go ahead and clear the path. He told Daniel, I have come in answer to your prayer. He said, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, God sent another angel, Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Gabriel came yesterday. We were talking about that in chapter 9. Gabriel came to assist Daniel. And there was a fight in the heavenly realms. Sometimes you feel like you can't make it through. You feel like you can't make it through. Like things are getting so tornadic. Things are getting so tornadic in your life. And God says, stand up. Don't be afraid. There's an angel fighting for you. And there's another one on the way. Hallelujah. You will not be defeated. Hallelujah. You are already victorious. You've got to know this. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel are fighting for you. He's fighting for you. He has sent out a battle, an army of heavenly hosts, to stand in the gap for you, to fight for you, to defend you. He said, I left Michael there. Michael is an awesome warrior. If you ever read the book of Enoch, study it for yourself. Download it. I got it in my computer. It's one of my apps that I got here. I call it apps or book. I got it. I don't know if it's app. They call it different names. I download the book. It's on my computer. And when you read this, there's about 6 or 7, maybe 8 warriors, archangels. These is mighty, mighty angels. And they standing and fight for the church of the living God. And if you read, it tells you what they got. A lot of different, they all names are there. I can't remember the names offhand right now. I have to go back and look at them and write them down one time and tell you. But they are powerful. And when we are praying, when God's people are praying, they come out and fight, because Satan also dispatched demons to stop your praise from going into the throne room, trying to hinder your praise from going into the throne room. That's why we got to live holy. That's why we got to walk according to the word. We got to obey his laws, his statutes, and his commandments. We got to obey everything God is saying. We can't pick and choose what we want to obey, what we want to follow. We got to take it from Genesis to Revelation, or from Revelation to Genesis, how we want to go. The Jewish people read from the right to the left. We read from the left to the right. All you want to start, but you got to obey all of this book. A lot of folk are running around and they say, I'm a New Testament church. I'm under grace, not under the law. That sounds good. But Jesus said, I didn't come to abandon the law, but he come to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilling Jesus, but Jesus still quoted the law. All through his ministry, he was quoting the law. Go back and look. He keep quoting Moses, Elijah. You know, all of these prophets he was talking about, Jeremiah, all these prophets he talked about, he was quoting the law. We got to go back and we got to pull up this book, because when we look at this stuff, we can see, now you don't hear too much about this stuff in the New Testament. How when you preaching and teaching, this the angels come to stand on guard, to take care of you, to watch over you, to keep you secure when you're in times of trouble and you feel like all hell is breaking out at you. All you got to say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not alone. That's what you got to say. Lord, I thank you. I am not alone. Thank you for the angels that you assigned on to me. That's what you got to tell them. Know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Let's finish this. Let's finish this. I got to go a little bit. I got a couple more scriptures I want to drop in your hearing. And then I think Bishop James is on the line. I'll let him do a prayer of salvation because that's his call. And then we'll open the line. If anybody wants to share, to share. If not, we'll close down. And I'm going to shave my head and my face to see my doctor. No, where we at? Yeah. But he says, now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerns a time yet to come. Now he is releasing to the seer, the prophet of God. The angel is giving him what he needs to say to the people. See, God don't want us to go there and just tell the people anything because we read the Bible or we studied the Bible. God wants us to seek him for clear understanding, for wisdom, for knowledge. He wants us to seek him for this understanding of what is to be said. So we're not like the old people used to say, you're talking over your head. Oh, you're talking over my head. It's going through one ear, coming up the next. No, we don't want to do that. We want that when we release it, that it makes some sense to the people, to the hearers, that they don't just become hearers of the word, but they be doers of the word. So he tells Daniel, he's talking to Daniel. He said to Daniel, while he was speaking to me, Daniel, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Daniel was struck, spiritually struck. He was just struck, self-struck. Because this awesome heavenly host is speaking to him. I would be trembling too if I could even stand up in this awesome sight that God is allowing to see, this awesome vision that he's having. No. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am filled with anguish because of the vision I have seen. My Lord, and I am very weak. That is still like I'm very terrified. I'm upset because this vision, I really don't understand this vision. I really don't understand. But the angels continue to speak to us. He said, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. The vision that he's seeing, he don't understand yet. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. See, Daniel is fasting, he's praying and fasting, he's praying and fasting. Stop eating any meat, eating any food, or drinking any wine. All the things that would give him strength, he's not taking him. His body now is beginning to shake, tremble. Not only from lack of food and water and wine, but trembling from this awesome vision, this sight that he's seeing, this spiritual sight. But after the man, the the person that's standing that looked like a man touched his lips. He began to speak. He was filled. He began to receive strength. And now he can breathe at ease. He's no longer short of breath. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. This is the second time I say it. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, there's a burst of energy that's come true. The words makes a difference. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Daniel began to hear words that he needed to fill it, to cause his spirit to move to another dimension. Daniel began to hear the angel of God speak to him at a higher level. So Daniel now began to respond by receiving strength from heaven. It comes into his bones, like Jeremiah said, like fire shot up in his bones. He told Daniel, don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. And as he spoke these words to Daniel, he suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. In other words, Daniel is saying, give me some more. In today's lingo, we will be saying, I want some more of that. Because it's so good. I feel so good. He replied, do you know why I have come? The angel asked Daniel. Soon I must return to fight again the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. And after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. See, this Michael sent to help to reveal the vision to Daniel. Gabriel sent to reveal the vision to him. But Michael was also sent to help Gabriel because Gabriel was fighting against some serious demons. Understand, when you stand up place, Satan don't want your place to go up. I mean, we take it lightly, but you're interceding for people, and they say, well, I don't know. I want to pray for me. I want her to pray for me. But they don't know what you're going through, where you are standing in the gap for their soul, interceding day and day and night, and you're going through. Sometimes you feel like so sick, you want to vomit. Enemy attacking you because the enemy does not want you, does not want us to continue to pray for these people. They don't want us to intercede. They don't want us to get the instruction that we need to get to give to the people. The moment you say, well, I'm going on a fast, the enemy shows up. All hell breaks loose. You hear what I'm telling you? Everything. Now, you say, well, sometimes it's not a physical hell. It's a hell of temptation. Everything that you like going to show up, continue pertaining to food. To stop you from breaking this flesh and put this flesh under subjection. Everything that you like, I tell you, I can smell chicken from a distance. I don't have to see the restaurant. I don't have to see the chicken grill. That smoke gets into the atmosphere and it finds me wherever I'm at. I could be at my house and I can be in the house, the windows closed. But I don't know how yet, and I'm telling the truth. God is my judge. And I said, honey, you smell that chicken? You smell that fried fish, honey? I said, and I tell Declan, like, guys, I know what's going on. Ain't nothing but that devil. He know that I'm on a fast. I tell my wife, I said, he know I'm on a fast. And that's what he's trying to do. Because he know I love that stuff. And then she'll come home. She'll bring home some cream-filled donuts. I like a cream-filled donut. She'll bring home coconut donuts. I love coconut donuts, okay? Tell a West Indian person you know that you ask a West Indian person you know and say they tell that they don't like a coconut donut. And my wife could go all the time. She wouldn't bring me one. And as soon as I begin to fast, she said, I went to the store, and these donuts were marked down or marked up or however she said, and I got you two. I said, well, honey, put them in the baggie and put them in the freezer. They'll stay good. When I'm ready, I take them on and put them in the microwave for a couple of seconds when I get off of this. But right now, I can't take them. See, you got to stand. This angel told Daniel, he said, he got to go. He said, where he go? Michael said, I got to go. He said, look. He said, I got to go. He said, meanwhile, I tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one has me again, these spirits, princes, except Michael, your spiritual prince. Michael is your spiritual prince. Every one of us have a spiritual prince, a heavenly host angel that stays with us. Wherever we go, he's there. Wherever we go, he's there. He's assigned to help us. But sometimes, as big as that angel, awesome as that angel is, God had to send him some extra help. Because Satan don't send one demon to fight your angel. He sent a host of demons to fight against your angel, the one that's protecting you, the one that's shielding you. Can't take your angel out, but God will send your angel some extra help. See what happened? He said in chapter 9, when he was in the fight, he was fighting. Daniel was praying. He began his prayer. He began his fast. And there was the demons trying to stop his prayer from going through. You sometimes wonder, why I've been praying all the time, it seems like nothing's happening. That's what's happening. Something is happening. The devil is, his demons, his angels are fighting hard to stop your prayer from going through. That's why Paul said to pray without ceasing. Let's go to Second Chronicles. I'll give you a couple more scriptures in here. Then we're going to open a line for anyone that want to respond or add to the word. Then I'm gonna let Bishop come in and do a prayer salvation, and we'll open the line. If nobody responds, we know a lot of time people don't respond. People are just happy, and we are grateful for that. The word of God is just powerful. Okay, it's just powerful.
Amen.
No. I got two more scriptures I want to put in there, Apostle. I want to put these two scriptures in there, and then I'm going to.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to call for Bishop as soon as I finish. Let me just put these two scriptures in there. Because I got to go see this doctor. He wants to check me out. So.
Okay.
And I tell you, sometimes I tell the truth. It's sometimes for us, the better we don't talk nothing in the atmosphere. Some things can't put in the atmosphere. So much. No sooner I say in the atmosphere that I had to go see the doctor, then you know that old devil, I tell no lie. I'm not giving him no props, but I tell you, don't fool yourself. Let nobody tell you, no, don't give the devil no props. You know, they tell the, well, the devil don't talk. No, he talked to us. He never stopped talking to us. Don't care how long we've been preaching and teaching or singing or dancing or how much degree we have in ministry. Devil still talk to us. Let's listen to Jesus. Jesus just got out the wilderness of fasting and praying. Who shows up? Satan! And he started his awesome three temptations he brought to Jesus. And Jesus had to, that's why we got to hide this word. We got to make sure this word is inside of us. The angel told Daniel that. You got to put this word inside of you. You got to get this word in your heart. And not just for one day. You got to keep this word moving all the time. And you got to dust it off. Dust it off. When you dust it off, you're going over the word. Second Chronicles chapter 1, maybe one verse inside here, maybe Let's see what the Lord says. We got to do that, man. I hear preachers say, well, the devil can't talk to me. Well, you're a liar. You ain't that great. You ain't that mighty. You know, buy your chips and Pepsi Cola. Don't stop that stuff. If he talked to Jesus, he'd talk to you, and he'd talk to me, too. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to know what to say to the devil. Tell the devil the word of God. That we got to do.
Yes.
He says here, and here Solomon talking. Look, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, Solomon is talking. You can read his own chapter. It's a powerful chapter. If you go fast, this is a powerful one that you can use.
Amen.
It's one of
Amen.
The chapters you can use. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. If you're going into fast, I'm starting fasting on Sabbath. Hallelujah. Serious 21 days. We're going to mess that devil up. We're going to get what we need. God's going to give us what we need because we're coming after it. He says, verse 10 and 11, let's go right here and see what he says. He says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great now? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemy, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Listen, verse 12. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you. Listen, before thee, neither shall there any after thee have like. The Lord blessed Solomon and gave Solomon. Solomon goes in before the Lord. He could ask for riches. He could ask for wealth. A lot of time we go into God, we want a better job, a bigger home, more swimming pools, more cars, all of this stuff that is unnecessary. Well, unnecessary in a way, but in the reality, unnecessary because God said that these things will pass away. You know, you had a car for 4 or 5 years, even before then, the transmission gone. The engine blew up. Car's blown out. The drive axle go. The steering rod breaks. All this stuff goes. And that's the stuff we're asking God for. God wants us to ask for stuff that's going to last forever. Especially as a preacher or a teacher, we ought to be asking God for wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Because we want to understand how to use the wisdom and knowledge. How are we going to talk to God's people? Shall be what we're fasting about. God, help me to speak truth and not compromise the truth. Hallelujah. This is what we ought to be fasting about. We want to get stronger. I want to be like a mighty man. No. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding, Lord. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for this righteousness. Lord, I want more. Help me to speak and into somebody's life that is dying in darkness, Lord, so that they could come into the light of understanding who you are, what you have done at Calvary. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10.
Amen.
Never let the enemy stop you. Know what you're going after. And bless you, Brother Deacon. We appreciate you a lot, more than you know. Listen to what he says. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching, listen to what he says. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversary. Now listen. God is saying for us, when we come together, we are supposed to exalt one another. We are supposed to lift up each other, encourage each other, and don't go back into the sin lifestyle, dimming and dabbing. Hallelujah, glory to God. We have a truth that's in us that surpasses all understanding. The truth that's in us. Hallelujah. It's not something that you can go down to the supermarket and buy. This truth that's in us is real. And God said we got to encourage one another. It's very hard to find people, Christians from our believers, so-called believers, that would encourage somebody. Somebody always has this kind of thing that hinders them from encouraging. We ought to encourage each other. Not to have no jealousy inside your spirit, because a lot of folk got jealousy in them. We got to get away from that mindset, because Christ is coming for pure church. And if we have jealousy inside of us, we're not going with him. That makes the church impure. Remember, who is the church? You are the church, I am the church, we the church. Hallelujah. When I'm by myself, I'm the church. When you by yourself, the church. When we together, we the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we encourage one another. Very important for us to know this. Jesus said that the reason why we're not seeing the power of God in us, because we are not seeking it with everything that's in us. We're not seeking it with everything in us. We're going after stuff that is not necessary. God said, I know what you need. I take care of the lilies. I take care of the flowers. I take care of the grass. I take care of all these stuff. How much more are you to him? He knows what we need. The grass does not talk to God. It don't tell God I want rain. The lilies don't cry, God, give me a pool that I can swim around in. But he makes me send the rain. Because he knows when they need rain. Hallelujah. He sends the snow melts, and it soaks up the ground. The grass is still living. It looks like it did, but it's still living. God knows what they need. We want to go and say, God, you know, I've been on this job for 10 years. I haven't got a raise. I need a raise. God knows you need a raise, but how are you walking? How are you working? Are you working with grievance in your heart? Are you working unto God while you're working? If you're working unto God, the man you're working for, the woman you're working for will see your work. He will see your work. He said your gifts will make room for you. How are we working? You're not working unto God. See, if you have joy in your job, God will make sure your boss sees. All you do, tell everybody on the job, man, I don't like working here. I don't know why I'm working here. You know, people say that stuff. And guess what? Some of the same people you talk to, I don't like working here. I've been working here for 10 years. Now I've got 5 years, 3 years. I ain't got a raise yet. The same people you're talking to, go tell the boss. He's always murmuring. She's always murmuring. She ain't got a raise. She's been here for 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. Same people you talk to. All God said you got to do is work with them, man. I love my job. Man, you see some paper on the ground, a trash can full of things. Just take the trash can and empty it. Take the broom and sweep up the dust. Hallelujah. Go to the boss office and take out the trash can. He said, well, you know, this is not your job, Miss Mary. This is not. No. I just saw the trash can is overflowing, and I just decided that I would enter. We don't have to wait till the janitor come. The boss said, thank you so much. He said, well, you're welcome, sir. Yes, sir. He put that down in the book. And before you're thinking about getting a raise, he's already thinking about giving you a raise. Because he sees your work. When God sees us going after, we're coming after this thing, we want to get more. We want to tell the people the truth. We want to love. We're loving on the people. We're not compromising. We're not talking to people like they're dogs. We treat them as the children of God. We're not putting ourselves on a pedestal and putting them on the floor. Because a lot of preachers do that. They look down on the people. One preacher told me one time, he said, you apostle, you ought not be messing with sheep. He said, sheep are dumb. You hear what I told you? The preacher told me that. He was a bishop. He told me, he said, you're an apostle, you ought not be meddling with a sheep. When you finish preach, just come down to the office. We just sit down the office and we talk. But yes, to find out. Apostle, let me show you how God is so awesome. I didn't know, because people were saying some stuff, but I didn't know. And I don't go with what people say. I let God show me. You hear what I'm saying? Even Evangelist Brown could tell, because she knew some stuff. Yeah. She knew some stuff. And God exposed this man to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he never He never get foolish with me because he know that I still had that stuff inside me. I would knock him out. You know what I'm saying? If he come and put his hand on me, I would knock him out. I would knock him out, but God would never let him do that because truly, I tell you, Apostle, I would have knocked him out. You know, because he's a bisexual, and he killed his wife. That's not how he killed his wife. He brought in some of that nasty stuff in him and put in his wife. You know, but he go with another man. See, and he was telling me don't mess with the sheep because the sheep were dumb. And God just look at him. His church wouldn't grow. His church, he'd been in church business for up to years. After so many long, the church wouldn't grow. Why? Why? Because he's living a promiscuous lifestyle. You can't do that. Either you're going to be holy or you're going to be nasty, filthy. You cannot be holy and filthy at the same time. And God showed me that he was a homosexual. He was having sex with the man that played the keyboards. Okay? And other guys. He went to London, and he brought a man from London here and put him in a hotel and then go to the hotel sleeping with the man. He's a bishop. You know what I'm telling you? This is the first. This is why we fast and pray. So God can give us eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see who not really saved and sanctified. Who not living a sanctified life. They can preach well. They know Greek. They know Hebrew. But they're not living the word. That's why I always say all the time, it's not just about preaching. It's about living. You have to live the word. You have to become a living epistle. You got to be. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
So when the devil look at you, all he can do is talk. That's all he can do, talk, but he can't touch you. You know, Job was that kind of man. Job was a living epistle. And God said, have you seen my son, my servant Job? Like a son. He said, have you seen my servant Job? God showed Satan Job. Satan coming to talk to God. Yeah, Satan, where you come from going to and fro in the earth? No, Satan is just cruising around with his horns and all his hoops and all that stuff. And he's talking around, trying to find a conversation. And God just look around, sit Job and says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you ever thought about your life, living your life? And say, would God show you, would God, are you living a life pure enough that God would show it to the enemy? Because he know you was signed up for the truth and don't fall? Think about it. Don't just preach, Job. Think about it. Would God show me, is my life holy enough that God would show me to the enemy? And will I stand when God show me to the enemy? Ask yourself those questions, but I ask myself the same question. I ask myself, and I say, Lord, I need more. I'm not strong enough yet. Lord, I need more. So that's how are you going to get more? You got to go in fast and pray, and you got to go in there and seek God. Seek God with everything that's inside of you. While we walk around pushing our chests up, we got, Apostle, I'm this and I'm that. I can preach this and I can preach that. I speak Hebrew, I speak Greek. I'm all this in a bag of chips. And the devil says, you come on over here. I'm going to show you something. Come on over here. You remember when? Mike Tyson was, when he first started, he was knocking everybody out. Oh, yeah, you just get in the ring one time. You get in the ring. Hey, the first round, second round, he knocked you out. But guess what he wasn't doing? He wasn't taking care of his temple. He was living a life like he was still in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And his body began to become weak. That's the same thing that happened to us. When we don't live this life that please God and live a holy life, our spirit man becomes weak. And we can't stand before Satan or agents. We cannot face the test of Job face. Why? Because our spirit becomes weak. Hallelujah.
Yes,
they're marrying Job's wife. He lost his kids and lost all his stock and his money and everything. And his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Listen, at this point in time, you want to give up and throw the towel and say, I'm not going to face them devils no more. I'm tired. But Job said, no. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, Lord, yet will I trust you, Lord. This is where you got to get, people. You all of us gotta get to that place. I'm going through right now. I told you yesterday, the left side of my heart is bothering me. But I'm trusting God that the same God that opened my arteries going to open them to the fullness again. I am not giving up. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling in my body because I know my body.
I know my body. Yes.
I'm going to preach till I die. Though he saved me, yet will I trust him. Yes, my wife told me last time, she said, do you need me to call the ambulance? I said, no, honey.
My God.
I got work to do for God.
Oh, my God.
God is not going to let me die.
God,
I'm not going to have a stroke.
Yeah.
I know my body.
No.
If it gets bad enough, I would go to the emergency room. I'll call the cardiologist. But I got an appointment with him this next month, I think. But I know what's going on, and I trust in God.
It's not as bad as it was.
It's not as bad as it was. A few days ago, it was real bad, but it's not bad.
I trusted him.
You got to know, if you live for God, God would honor you. If you live for him, living for your husband, for your wife, for your children, and all this stuff, live for God.
Live for God, yes.
The car going to go, the house going to go, the job going to fail you, your money go. They're going to take your money in the bank. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
So I'll be with you even on to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this, get hungry, get thirsty. Turn the plate upside down, love your sister, love your brother. Encourage your sister, encourage your brother. You're not all that in the bag of sisters in the Pensacola. I am not that either. That's why I'm not afraid of telling you my pain, my sorrow. When I'm lacking this or lacking that, I tell you. I'm not afraid. Because God sees my heart. He knows who I used to be. He knows what he brought me out of. The filthy life that I used to live. He knows. My life was not sweet. It was not a bed of roses, Apostle. God, my Savior, brought me out. And I live for him now.
Yes.
I live for him now. I'm not where I want to be yet. I'm telling you the truth. Because I want to get so close that I can see them breathing on me. I'm not there yet. But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. In the gambling house. In the whole house. Man, I tell you, it was bad. It was bad. And God protected me all along the way.
Yes, sir.
Didn't let
Thank
me
you.
Get killed in the streets. You
Thank
don't want
you.
Me to teach and preach. You come to dissect. You come to criticize the word. Instead of enjoy the word, instead of me just put my two cents in. Let me add my two cents in to help you to grow a little more. Come to critique the word. Father, I thank you and praise you, oh God. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. Because when I'm not faithful, you are faithful. I thank you for your healing virtue, Lord Jesus. I thank you for extending mercy and grace to me, Lord, to all of us.
Yes, God.
Lord, when I can't fix myself, you're the one that fixed it, Lord. Oh,
yes,
Father,
sir.
I thank you for being a forgiving Father that never whipped me when I should be whipped. But you soothe me when I should be, when I need soothing, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you bless us today to hear this word. And God, we ask you to bless those that would hear it in the far countries that we have sent it to today. As we send everybody preaching, we don't just send my preaching. We send all the preaching. Because we want the world to hear every preacher that preach on this line. You know, we send everybody words out all over the world who goes. Amsterdam, we send the word to Australia. We send the word to Caribbean, to Canada, all over Africa. We send the word. Oh, God, we got people in France. We got pastors in France, Germany, Italy. We got people all over the world that we send the word. We thank the Lord. God is a forgiving God.
Yes,
He's a God of mercy, a God of grace. And He's full
of
love. He's full of compassion. The Bible said that His compassion faileth not. Even when we fail God and act a fool, He still is compassionate. The Bible says that God commanded His love towards us that while we were yet sinning, He sent His Son, Jesus, sent his son Jesus. Why did he send him? To die for your sin, my sin. He had compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness while we were yet sinning. I thank God for you all, and I bless the word that God sent forth today. It blessed me. It touched my heart. Even to the crevices of my heart, he touched me. He touched me. And he's filling in those crevices of my heart right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay.
Glory to God.
Apostle will preach tomorrow. I'm not going to preach no more this week. I'm just going to sit back and let my body heal. Brother Hayne, Bishop, come on in and do the prayer of salvation. And allow the Lord to use you. Come on in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to be in the land of the living. Another day. Oh, glory to your holy name. Oh, anyone who has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I urge you, I'm really trying to encourage you as best I can to accept him today. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. For we know not when the Lord God Almighty will say that our soul is required of us. And it's too late. It's too late. God has an appointed time for all of us. Even the angels in heaven don't know when he's going to call us. So be obedient to the Father. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the only way. That's why he is called the way, the door, mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's all those things and many, many more. Now, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you have backslidden, you've become a prodigal son or daughter, come back home. Do not spend your eternal life in hell because you didn't come back, because you just shied away. Maybe for a few days, you know, you made a mistake. Ask God's forgiveness and accept him, you know, and come back home. I urge you, brothers and sisters, you know better. For those who have never received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, as I have asked just now, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to do so. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 and 9, the word of God says, excuse me, it says, but what does it say? It says that you must confess with our mouth. The word is in you. It's in your mouth, which means you must confess it, saying it out loud. You don't have to scream to the top of your lungs. Just speak it, and it's going to go into the atmosphere. The enemy will know. More than anybody else, the enemy will know that you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to tell you he's not going to fight against you and cause you to say something or do something, but as soon as you say or do whatever it is, recognize. You just say, oh, Father in heaven, I'm sorry, Jesus. Please accept me back. Ask me, forgive me, Father, in Jesus' name. Will Jesus did anything we ask the Father in his name that he would grant us, because I don't want to see any of us perish and spend everlasting damnation in hell's fires. He doesn't want that. So he gives us chance after chance after chance. Don't pass up your chance. I urge you. Please don't pass up your chance. And your next step when you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior is to say it. Say it. I confess that I am a sinner. Jesus, please accept me into your kingdom. For I am lost, but through you I am found. And just tell Jesus how you feel. You know, I want to be with you, Jesus, for eternity. Because all of us are going to cross over from consciousness to unconsciousness, from life to eternal life. Somewhere. We want to be in heaven. We want to be in paradise with Jesus. I urge you to do so. Then the next step, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you go to the book of Acts, it says in chapter 4 at verse 12, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven. Is there any other? There's no other name mentioned under heaven except Jesus Christ. That's the only way to the Lord God Almighty. The eternal salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And Spirit, nudge people. You know, if some people, you have to slap them off the chair. It's just nudge them a little bit and let them slip, you know, and slip into lightness, not darkness. Slip out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ by accepting him as their Savior. Yeah. Oh, join us. Please join us. Join all those who are saved. For the book in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter said unto them, and these were people who were to be baptized, he said, you must repent. That's the first thing he says, repent. Every one of you, listen, you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. All you have to do is be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I thank you for accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, and prodigal sons and daughters. I thank you for coming back home. Hallelujah. Now, invite people to your baptism, everyone you can. Maybe by doing so, someone will accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. You are now an ambassador in Christ. Once you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your record is clean. Anything you've ever done in your life, you're forgiven. Things that you've forgotten, your slate is clean. God has blessed you. He's blessed us once again. Every time somebody accepts him as their Savior, please do it. I urge you. Urge you to please accept him. Congratulations for the brothers and sisters who have come back home and for all you new believers. Look at your glory to his holy name. Hallelujah. Get yourself a Bible if you don't have one and read scriptures every day. Ask the Heavenly Father to lead and guide you where he wants you to read. And read, take your time, chew on the word, get that good sound, true word in your spirit. And if you don't understand, ask to teach you what he wants you to let you know what he's trying to teach us. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Apostle, it's back to you, sir. Congratulations. Back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. We thank God for you and for your presence here on the church line. We greatly appreciate you and your wife and your family. We just thank God for you. And we pray for everybody this morning. That's how the service started out this morning, praying for everyone as we always do in the night and the daytime. We started out this way. But the Lord is great. He is good. The Bible says he is greatly to be praised. So that's what we do. I'm enjoying myself with him, in him, with him and in him. I'm enjoying myself in him. I don't have any regrets, you know, when you hear me share about my ailments or anything like that. I'm not having a regret or worries, you know, because I really do believe this. And I shared to my wife very clearly. I said, honey, if the Lord has to call me home, I know you will cry, but I appreciate you. Don't cry. Just rejoice because I'm going to see my daddy.
Hallelujah.
I tell her that all the time. I said, rejoice.
Hallelujah.
And I mean that. And she said, well, you can't stop me. I said, well, I know I can't stop you from crying, but I ask you not to. I'd appreciate you don't cry because I'm living to see him, you know. I'm not telling nobody that I'm perfect. Don't get me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not telling anybody that I'm perfect, but I know that the life that I'm living is to see my daddy. That's the life that I'm living. I'm living to see
Hallelujah.
Him. When he called me, I am ready to go with him. My doctor
Praise
looked at me
Lord.
When I had, and 2017, and I was going through my heart test, and they had to put the snake in my arm. They called it a snake. I don't know why they call it that, but they called it a snake, and they put the snake in my arm. Before that, they were having problems, and with two doctors and an apprentice, so and a nurse. So I told him, I said, stop. Because I didn't have the IV yet. So I told him, stop, you know, because they put you to sleep. I said, stop.
Uh-huh.
And I prayed. I said, Lord, let them find the track that they want to put that, where they want to run that line. And then once I prayed, I said, no, it's okay. And I just put the IV in, and I could see it till I went to sleep on the monitor where the line was going up my right arm. And they came up to my heart, and when they get to my heart, they see the blockage, but they couldn't go into it because it was behind my heart. And the snake, they couldn't make the snake do that 360 angle that they wanted. And so he said, well, there's only one thing we can do is we can put you on some medication if you got to go away. Then they said, so how long are you going away? I said, well, he thought I was going to be in Africa for about 6 months. I said, I'm just going for a couple of weeks, if that long, and do a quick job and come back. He said, okay, you should be okay. And I told him right there, I said, when I had woke up, you know, they woke me up, and I said, I'm not worried, sir. I said, because if I die, you know, the doctors, they got a different way of thinking. But I had to let them know. I said, if I die, I'm going to go see my Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, they look at you like you're crazy. But I told the doctor that, Dr. Spiegel, he's a heart specialist in my area. And I said, if I die, I'm going to see my Lord. And I told him straight, I said, I'm not afraid of death. You know, he never heard nobody talk like that before. I said, I'm not afraid of death, sir. Not afraid. And that's the truth. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to go stay in front of a gun and say, shoot me, because that'd be foolish. But I say, I'm not afraid of death, because I'm living for the Lord.
Yes.
And that's how all of us should have that kind of mindset. Don't be afraid. Just, if you know you're living for him, why are you going to be afraid? When he already told you to be absent from the body, to be present with me. That's what he said, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So why are you afraid? You're not going in a dungeon. You go, man.
Yeah.
You go to a place that is so glorious, man. So glorious.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
Lord.
It's so glorious.
Jesus.
Look at Daniel.
Oh, my.
And they tell Daniel, don't pray. Daniel didn't only pray more. He opened the window. He opened the window so the people can hear him pray.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And to go tell the king that Daniel that you told not to pray anymore, he's praying even louder. We can hear him all the way down here.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So we can hear him down here.
Mm.
So, well, you know, the king had signed the decree and stamped it with his ring. So I said, go get Daniel. And it got the lions, didn't feed the lions for days. The lions was hungry. So you know that Daniel was not going to escape on his own. The lions was going to tear him. The lions are hungry. He said, well, because you disobeyed the king don't have no choice. The people said, look, the best thing to do is put him in the land. Let the lions tear him up. Don't put him in jail because he'll live out. If you put him in jail, he'll come out of jail. Put him in the land, then let the lions tear him loose. Him apart.
Yes.
And God, them lands coming there with 13 lands. And then lands, I always preach that. The first time I preached that, I called them a sleep number. The first sleep number bed that ever was on the earth. Them lands came in there, and there was a sleep that became a bed for Daniel. Daniel had a sleep. With the sleep number, you can count the land. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that sleep number. I mean, Daniel, they laid out for Daniel. God caused the land to lay out for Daniel. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Daniel didn't sleep on the dirt. Those dungeons didn't have no carpet. They didn't have no mahogany wood. No cedar floor. Mm-hmm. There was dirt. You had to lay on the dirt. Daniel was down there on the dirt. Was down there on the dirt. And the land came in. And my God, I believe that when the lands came in there, and they threw Daniel's land on the lands. Because from the distance he was dropping, he would probably broke the bones and stuff and stuff, but falling from that distance, throwing from the top to the bottom, and the land was came in. You got to picture that. Them lands didn't just come in when Daniel was inside there. Them lands came in there, was waiting for Daniel, were roaring, because we're going to get some fresh meat. We're going to get some fresh meat. And there was there a cushion for Daniel. And they couldn't bite Daniel, couldn't touch Daniel, because God had already touched the land. He touched the land's appetite. They no longer had an appetite for meat. Hallelujah. They got sleepy. My Lord Jesus, the land got sleepy. All of a sudden, God caused the land to get sleepy. And Daniel just laid on them lands and went to sleep till morning. My Lord Jesus. And glory to God. The king came down, because the king didn't want to do that. King like Daniel. The king came down harder for Daniel, because the king had something. Like, he had a feeling that Daniel was, the God of Daniel would save Daniel. So he came down calling up for Daniel. I'm telling you something, man. When you live this life, glory to God. When you live this life that we're talking about, God will protect you all the way till he ready to call you home. Nobody can send you home. He got to call you home. Oh, my God, my God. I'm telling you something. He got to call you home. Glory to God. Nobody can send you home. So I thank God for that, for that prayer salvation. Thank God for you all coming on today. I'm feeling the presence of the Lord so strong on my life right now. It's just so strong on my life right now. And I love to feel like this, because it just makes me weep when I feel him like this. You know, preparing to go into this great time with the Lord, having this great time with the Lord is, preparing my mind and my body to go into that with him. So the line is open. Anyone that want to come on in and add to this message, you come on in. We got time to record.
Apostle Calendar, I'm going to ask everyone to join me in praying for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, touch our spiritual leader. Lord, let him go to whatever test they're going to run on him. Oh, Lord God, he knows, but let everybody on this line know that we will meet again and on this side of the grave, because I believe in my heart. Oh, God, I believe in my heart the words of Jesus said, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will grant you. So, Father, I'm asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for me and for everybody else, but basically for Apostle Calendar, that they don't find anything wrong with him. And if there is something, that you will fix it, Father. By the time he gets there, you will fix it. We know you will. We trust in you, Lord God. So, God, we trust the doctors. We ask you to put the doctors in your hands, Father God. Let whatever the surgeons or whatever heart specialists, whatever they are, whatever profession they have chosen, that they are the best. But you are better. You are the best. Only you can save us. Only you, Jehovah. Yes, and Jireh, you are our provider. You provide us with help. You provide us with everything. Lord Jesus, we ask you, touch your doctor's hands. Let them use whatever CT scans or X-rays or whatever they're going to use to see what the problem might be. Let it only be something simple like gas. Like sometimes trapped air, it can make you feel like you're having a heart attack. But it's going to be nothing. Nothing. It's going to be all cleared up. We ask Jesus to clear it up, Jesus. in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Apostle is healed. He has got a lot of work. He's got a lot of work to do for the kingdom, Lord God. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you don't have his wife and the rest of his family being sad. I know he said, don't cry. But when you love someone, the emotions that God has put in us kicks right in. Because you love someone, you don't want to see that person depart. But you have, as just as the apostle's thinking, you're going to be in a far better place when you cross over. Because I know how it feels, because I thought that I was going to die. And Apostle Linda can tell you, I used to be shaking all on the inside. Oh, God, I don't know. I felt so bad. And then I didn't have it anymore because I trust God. She said, I know that I'm going to cross over one day, and I want to be ready. I trust God. Everyone, like that old Western song, you got to walk that lonesome valley. Nobody can walk it for you. You got to walk it for yourself. So when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because you are with us. Oh, just Psalm 23. Hallelujah. You are with us, God. Only you. Only you. You're all we need. You're our everything, Lord. So thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying along with me and your own little special prayers. That Apostle Calendar will be back on the line tomorrow listening or whatever. Resting, whatever he needs to do, you know. Lord God, it's in your hands, Father God. Oh, God, yes. Grace on the road, grace in his home, grace at the hospital. Hallelujah. God's amazing grace is so amazing. Truly. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. He's already here. We believe your report. In Jesus Christ's name, no weapon formed against him shall ever prosper in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. We thank you for it, God, right now. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God, for you, oh God. Oh God, you, oh God, have bled on the cross so that we would be healed. Oh, every infirmity, every disease, every sickness, oh God, you've already conquered it at the cross. So, Father, we just thank you now. We thank you for your prayers, Bishop, and everyone else who are praying today for our overseer, our leader, our brother, our friend, Apostle Calendar, the son of God. He's a son, hallelujah, and a friend.
Sure.
We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that all is well with him. We speak wellness, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God, we bless you, we bless you, we bless the Lord for what he's already done. We bless him for that healing bone that flowed from the cross. Glory be to God. The cross is the bone. Hallelujah. And that blood flowed so we would be healed. That blood flowed so everything would be all right with us and that we would have life and life more abundantly. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that all is well with our apostles. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Bishop. And thank
amen.
You
amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Bishop, thank you so much for the prayer. But let me update you so we know how we pray now. I'm only having a physical today. Just a physical today. That's the family doctor. But I have to see my doctor, the cardiologist, in May. On the 16th of May, I got to see the cardiologist. But before then, even as you pray, I believe that my artery is going to be fully open. I believe before I see him in May, because I had 6 months since the last time I saw him, my artery will be fully open again. Okay? So that's where I'm saying it.
Already
you know?
Hallelujah.
It's already done, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, I receive it.
Thank you for the word.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
God bless you.
The line is open. The line is open.
Thank you, Lord, for the power that we receive, oh God, when we fast and when we pray. And there's power in the word of God. And we thank God for the message today. Thank you, Apostle, that even though you were going through some, you pressed and you still came on the line. Hallelujah, and did what thus saith the Lord. And that's, you know, that's the strength of God. The strength of God allows us and keeps us so that we can press on, so that we can be spiritually wealthy. You are spiritually wealthy, hallelujah, because you are a man of God and because you trust God and because you believe every word of the Lord. Amen. So you are strong in the Lord. We are strong in the Lord, and we will get strength even the more when we fast and we pray. It's a spiritual weapon. That's what it is, fasting and praying. Glory be to God. And God expects us to do it because he said when you fast, he also told us when you fast means that he expects us to fast. Amen? He expects,
hallelujah,
he expects us,
hallelujah,
to fast and support us. When he says when, he didn't say there's a choice in the matter. He said when you
That's
fast
right.
and pray. Some things only
Hallelujah.
Come by fasting
Thank you, Father.
And pray.
Yes.
So if we want to be
yes.
strong in the Lord, and if we want to have that spiritual discernment that you're preaching about, we have to fast and pray from time to time. And listen for the Lord, because he will let you know when it's time to fast and pray. And, you know, the Lord knows what the devil is planning. He knows everything. The devil don't know everything, but God knows everything, and he's not all-powerful like God. God is all-powerful and all-knowing. So when you start feeling like you need to fast, of course, we should always be praying. But when you feel like it's time to fast, go ahead and do that. Because something is up, glory be to God. And then God wants us to get stronger and stronger, like Apostle is teaching, and have that spiritual discernment. And I heard you say so that you can know the spirits that you are around, so that you can have that spiritual higher knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is higher knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is wisdom and understanding that can only come from the Lord. It's different. That spiritual wisdom and that spiritual understanding is different. Lord, glory be to God. And it empowers us to go on, and it empowers us with that strength that we need to continue to walk this walk of righteousness. Amen. To live holy like you're talking about. Glory be to God. So there is power in it. I know I've done it. Fasting has saved my life. The Lord has saved my life. When we heard that we were to fast for 3 days with nothing but water, God saved my life. He saved me from a plan of the enemy. I was going to be dead, Simone, already, but it was going to kill me. I had an infection that I didn't even know about. My God. And it was going to my brain, and I didn't know it. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel it. But I woke up after that third day of fasting with a knot on my eye. And I made fun of it because I didn't have no pain. I didn't know where it came from. And I know I had, you know, I just didn't know. So I called a friend. A friend called me at the time. I was laughing at myself in the mirror. And a friend called me, and she said, "You sound so jolly. What's going on?" I said, "Well, I have this knot on my face, on my eye, and I just don't know where it came from." And she knew that we had been fasting and praying. So she said, "A knot on your eye?" I said, "Yeah." I said, and I made fun. I said, maybe at the time, I said, "Maybe James just slapped me upside my head when I was sleeping." But anyway, we both laughed. She said, "Really, I'm going to call my doctor. He's over at the emergency. He works in emergency." And she said, "I want you to go there and ask for him." And that was Dr. Gupta.
Mm-hmm.
He's on CNN now, but that was my doctor at the time. He was the emergency doctor over there in St. Louis. But anyway, Dr. Gupta looked at me. They took tests. He said, "I'm going to send you to a colleague of mine. You have to go right away because there's an infection there, and it'll go to your brain, and it will definitely kill you." So he said, "You've got to have surgery. You've got to have surgery right away." But to make a long story short, everything went well. Hallelujah. I had the surgery. It didn't cost me anything. The surgery cost thousands of dollars because I had this infection was all in my bones and my jaw. And he had to do a reconstruction in there and take bone out and all that stuff. But Apostle, fasting and prayer is powerful, just the way you are preaching. It really is. And so many times, even with Bishop, when I was fasting, I would see things that the enemy would be up to try to kill my husband, or somebody was getting sick, or something was going on. The Lord gives you that spiritual discernment. He gives you that wisdom like he's talking about. And I'm telling you, I've seen him do it over and over again. I've had visions. I've had visions of things that are to come, things that's about to happen. The Lord has done that. But we live a life of fasting and prayer. When you live a life of fasting, you're fasting and you're praying occasionally. I'm not talking about no once a year fast. I'm not talking about like people do in New Orleans after Fat Tuesday, after Carnival, once a year the Catholics do a major fast. It's called a 40-day fast, and they give up something for the 40 days. They just give up something. But we are supposed to be fasting all throughout the year. Amen? All throughout the
Amen.
Year. And when you do that, your spiritual life is going to be so much better, and God is going to take you higher in the spirit realm. Glory be to God. And he'll show you things that nobody else can show you. He'll tell you what nobody else will be able to tell you, because that's what he does. That's what God does. And it's a requirement for us to fast and pray. Amen. So, Apostle, thank you for that word. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he was tested three times. But the Bible talks about three times, but Jesus was tested every day, 40 days.
That's right.
And every day that
That's
Jesus
right.
was in this earth, something was going on in the earth. Jesus was tested constantly. Hallelujah. That devil was coming at him constantly because he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He was trying to make Jesus not go, but he tested his authority in the garden. He tested the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He tested his authority. All of this happened in the garden.
That's right.
And he's going to do the same thing with us. Apostle said it in the message. We are not exempt from that. Anytime you said it, Apostle, anytime Jesus was tested, Jesus fasted and prayed. He's our example. He's our example.
That's right.
And everything
Hallelujah.
That we go through in this earth, Jesus has already gone through it.
That's
everything.
Right. He told us that.
He felt it all.
That's right.
And we are to follow his way. He modeled for us everything we are to do. He taught us by what he did. Amen. And so go on and continue to fast and pray for those who are fasting and praying. We will be right along with you, Apostle. We normally fast around this time anyway, but we fast all throughout the year, not boasting. We're boasting on God because that is God. That is God that speaks to our heart about fasting and prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, you want you. Glory to God.
And amen,
so anyway,
amen. You
so,
know.
It breaks
you know,
down
Apostle,
it breaks down those barriers. It breaks down. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to stop you. But you know, last night when I was studying this word, I'd lean on the bed and my wife was sleeping, and I was leaning up with my back to the headboard on the pillow on the back of my back, and I heard the Lord say so plain, "It's yours, my." Yeshua is my judge. I heard him say so plain. He says, Saturday, I want you to start fasting. The Lord says, I want you to start fasting. And then he said, 21 days. He's very plain. I mean, I heard that thing like it was coming off a record play. He just says, I want you to start fasting Saturday. And then he says, 21 days. And I said, I got up and told my wife, I said, I'm going to start fasting on Saturday. She said, okay. You know, and I know she's going to bring stuff in the house. I know she's going to bring stuff in the house, but I got to put it in the freezer. You know, I got to put it in the freezer because temptation's going to come. You know, it's going to come. Because, like, Dan, you want more, you got to do more. You got to do more. There's no, nobody can set by it for you. Nobody can give it to you. You have to. Bishop always, I tell Bishop, speak that word, spoke that word sometime last year. You got to submit and you got to commit if you want it.
Amen.
If you want
right.
it. You got to submit and
Amen.
You got to commit if you want it. It's
yes,
no if or but,
yes,
it's no game plan. It's no game plan. This thing is real. It's real.
Right.
Man, go back and read the Amen. Book of Daniel for yourself. It's only 12 chapters. It's only 12 chapters. Read it for yourself. It is so powerful to see how this man submit to God and commit to God and adhere to everything that God said. He did not bend and he did not break. It's very, very simple. We got to do that if we want more. Because we are in a time right now as believers of Jesus Christ. It's not an easy time to live, but it's a good time. You know why it's a good time? Because the Savior is watching over us. It's a good time.
Amen.
We are not on this journey by ourselves. We're not on this journey by ourselves. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead.
So that's basically what I wanted to say, that everything you were saying is right on, and it's a blessing for those who may not know how powerful fasting is. And I'm just a living witness of it. I've been fasting for years and years now by the power of God. I have seen things that nobody else can show you. I've heard things that nobody else can tell us. God will do that. He'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. He promised that. That's a promise in the Bible, you know, and God will just show us things. I mean, you will see things. Everything will be so clear because it'll just open up your spirit. Wide open. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we want to fast along with you. I'll pray about what kind of fast. I don't know what kind of fast you're doing. If it's a Jewish fast or if it's just, you know, certain things that you gave up. I don't really know. But we normally do a Jewish
fast.
Well,
we're not going to have anything to eat. From sun up to sundown. When sundown, we have one thing
yeah.
at the evening.
Yeah.
And not a big thing, just enough to give your body a little nourishment, but not a big thing,
Amen.
You know. We're going to stay in the Word. We're still going to be in the Word.
Amen.
We're going to be very little on the phone unless it's very important. We're going to stay away from that phone. Not do a lot of long talking on the phone. If we're on the phone, it's going to be talking about Jesus. Nothing else.
Amen.
We're going to be sharing the word with somebody else, but we're not going to be on the phone with no foolishness, you know, because we don't want nothing to take us out of focus of where we are going. We must stay on track.
That's right. Some things that we can do while we're fasting, it will just abort.
Yeah.
It was just a bark, you know, like if you looking at something you shouldn't look at or listen to something you shouldn't listen, it can just abort what God will do during that task. So we have to be careful what we listen to and what we're looking at and where we're hanging out at. We got to be very careful because you can just blow the fast. It can just be blown up.
Yes.
You know, so.
My television will be on black, you know. You will see just the black screen
in
my house. I will be watching no TV. And my wife knows very well. She goes in the living room. I'll be in the bedroom. She go in the living room, and she'll watch her TV shows. You know, ain't nothing going to be where I am, you know, because I really know that God, he's going to speak to us. And I believe that just as he sent angels to Daniel, he dispatched the heavenly host to come and give us what we need. Same way.
Amen.
Same exact way. Because he's no respecter person. What he did for one, he do for the other. We just got to get in sync with him. Get in sync
Amen.
With him. Tune our spiritual, earthly antennas to his heavenly signal. That's what we got to do. There's a signal leaving heaven every second. Faster than a second. And we have to tune into it to pick up that signal. How do we pick it up? Tune into it when we're fasting and we're praying. When we're fasting and praying, when we're praying and fasting, we are tuning our earthly antenna to the heavenly signal, and we hear from heaven.
Amen.
You see what happened to Daniel as he began to pray and fast? Things start happening.
That's
happening
right.
for him, you know.
That's right.
His spiritual eyes was wide open. He had the men with him. His armor bearers was with him, and they could see nothing that he was seeing. They couldn't hear what, but they knew something was going on. That's why they got afraid. They got frightened and they ran away. Leave Daniel by himself. They were supposed to be his friends. Run off and leave him. Because something had lit up that place. The place was probably lit up. Because this man was in that linen, that holy garments, and he was glowing. And everything that he said was the same man that we talked about in the book of Revelation. That was Jesus that was showed up right there. The hair, the legs, everything, you could tell it was Jesus. And then the angel of God come.
And
Daniel
right.
could not look upon him. He could not look upon Jesus. He saw the garments. He saw the light. But he couldn't look upon it. He said his face was to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the angel come.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you something, that when you faith, when you're fasting, God will show up. God will show up. You don't even know he's there. He show up.
That's right. He shows up.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Sure. Why? Because you're seeking him. You're seeking him. What did he do for Solomon?
Right.
What did he do for Solomon? Solomon
he
had a choice. He could have asked for wealth and riches.
That's
you
right.
Know, he gave him everything
yes,
that he asked for.
Right.
See, we gotta seek God for other people, to help others.
Yeah, hallelujah.
To help others. And
help
God
others,
then
man.
In turn,
yes,
he said, well, God, you didn't ask for yourself. I'm not only going to bless you to bless them, but I'm going to bless you also. That's what God does.
Amen.
I see Mother Amen. Grant, she's on. Mother Grant, she's
Amen.
On. Come on in, Mother.
They talk. I almost home. I'm just getting off from one of my centers as I'm driving.
I tell you, I want to be just like you when I come back, Mother.
Yeah.
When I come back, I want to be just like you, Mother. Mother got me rolling though. Look, Mother got me on the cruise. She be on the senior cruise. She be drawing. She be making stuff.
Friday, we're going on the yacht. Friday for Valentine's, and then we go to the shows at the center. We go there on the 16th. So yeah, I'm getting out going. I go to two centers in the day. I try to make them. I don't get totally. Yesterday I was to one sitting up to the table sleeping. The lady said, Miss Elva, you all right? I say I'm all right. I just wake up early, and I'm not an early person because some. What the center, we have to be there at 8:30 in the morning in order to get your ticket to go on these different places. So you got to be there 8:30. So that'll take up my sleep because I can't sleep at night. So I have to get up early in the morning. So every time I sit down, I just fall asleep. I tell them I'm all right. Then the eyes starting to close down. I just got to close it, but it don't be for too long, and I still can hear everything. So the lady told me just now, she said, I was worried about you yesterday, you know. Said, I called you and you didn't even answer the phone. I say, I'm all right. I said, I didn't hear the phone. I said, I'm still having learning this phone because so many people be calling me and I don't hear nothing. When I go on the phone, then I'll see I missed all these calls. But I say, thank you. I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep my mind together. And you know, just keep my mind together because at night, I hate nights. I hate nights because I'm still having all them, you know, bad dreams and things. I can't sleep. And when I fall asleep, then it's time to get up, you know, because I want to get up and get out where I could be, you know, amongst people. So I'm going home now. I get something to eat, and I'm supposed to go to this little job for 3:00. Well, I eat all day, and that's no good either. In my diabetes, I'm supposed to eat. Just eat a yogurt. So I'm going home, get something to eat right now, and go to them people for 3:00. But God is good. He's keeping me.
Yes, he is.
I'm getting things done, you know, and I'm happy about that. I'm thinking if I could get this sleep business together. You know, with me, stop seeing all these things in the night in my bedroom, but Oh, Lord. I don't know what to say.
Say Jesus. Say Jesus. That's what you say, Jesus.
Yeah, I believe. I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I do every night. I read my Bible. I pray. I got the church. We had my pastor, he had an anointing service this Sunday. I went out and I get my oil and I throw my oil both in my bedroom and both in my house and my car, you know. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good, no problem. But sometime again, it's right back there again. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say no more. Just keep on believing. Keep on believing God. Anyway, I'm to my door, so I have my book open, and I'm going to read. It's like, think before you speak. Sometimes it's easy to say the wrong thing than it's to say the right thing, especially if you are in a hurry to bleak out the first word that come into your head. But if you are if we are patient and if we choose our words carefully, we can help other people feel better. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. The book of Proverbs tells us that the right word spoken at the right time can be wonderful gifts to our families and to our friends. That's why we should think about the things that we say before we say them, not after. When we do our words, make the world a better place. That's exactly what God wanted. Dear God, I know that you heard every word I say every day. I will try my best to say things that are honest, kind, and worthy of you. Amen. To everything, there's a season, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 1:7. May God answer his word. Amen.
Yes, that's the truth. That's the word of God. Sometimes we always ought to ask God before we speak a word, because we want the word to line up with what God really wants us to say, not just what we want to say. You know, we want to say what God wants us to say, and that is the truth. And we don't want to say things to hurt people. We want things, say things that would encourage people and lift up people, you know. That's the kind of word that we want to speak. So that is true. We people sometimes are in a deep crevice of pain, hurt, and they need a life raft to get them out. And the word of God does that when it's spoken right, you know, in season and out of season. Don't just say something because we want to say it, but say what God wants be said, you know, to encourage the people. Sometimes God would say a word that would really cut us to our core, but that's when we need cutting. God knows when we need cutting, you know, but most times God's going to give you a word, going to give us words that encourage us to continue in faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the line is open. Thank you so much, Mother.
God bless you. Awesome. Can y'all hear me?
God bless. Yes, I hear you, Brother Deacon.
Oh, man, I've been coming over for quite some time. My name is Vincent Jones.
Oh, that's not brother?
And my
No, that's not Brother Deacon. He didn't give his name. What's
okay.
your name, sir?
My name is Minister Jones.
Okay.
Minister Jones.
Thank you.
Yeah, my mom is probably is Percy. I've been coming over here quite some time listening to you. Man, I enjoy it every time. I'm a truck driver, so excuse the noise. I enjoy the word. I love the zeal, man, that you have, man. I tell you, man, I mean, even listening to you yesterday, I mean, you just, man, it's like it was a quickening for me yesterday to hear your testimony and to hear your word today. I enjoyed it, every bit of it. Man of God, you be encouraged, man. Yeah, I just don't know what to say but just tell God thank you for the zeal that you have and the boldness that you have and the hunger that you have to please God, you know, and this, you don't holler here, find that anymore. And I just thank God for you. And I just know God, his word says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And
Amen.
He said his word
yes.
that if you delight yourself in him, he'll give you a hard desire. So it's nothing that God can't do if you just trust him. He can do anything. His word, you just have to believe what his word says. And I just love what you were talking about, having the right spirit, having the Holy Spirit of, you know, we've been, you know, I have been discussing that with someone myself, you know, and we're in a time now where so many false doctrines and so many false teachers that are going out that you have to have the Spirit of God to know the difference. You know, everybody's not the church. And so, you know, you really have to have the Holy Ghost and you have to have a personal life with Christ so the Holy Spirit can tell you and show you, you know, who is with him and who is and his. Because, I mean, I tell you, man, so many people are being led away by false doctrine and false teaching. People really don't know what a real true anointing is. You know, you hear people, everything the anointing now, you know, and then people, I tell people to read your word. The Bible says gift comes without repentance. I mean, you can have a gift to preach, you can have a gift, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you just have something. So I thank God for what you said. It really helped me, and even with the fasting, you know, God healed me through fasting. When I was younger, I fasted 8 nights to have seizures, and God healed me from seizures. I have many miracles happen in my life through fasting and praying.
Mm-hmm.
So it does work.
It does work.
God's word, you just got to believe what the word says. He said he can do a seizure of all we ask, according to the power that works in us, and the power that works in us is the Holy Spirit, and that's what we need. Romans 8:9 says you don't have the Spirit, none of this, so it's hard for people to understand his word, but you don't have his spirit. And so I just thank God for you, man. I tell you, I really enjoy hearing you every time. I try to listen. You know, the Bible says to be slow to speak and swift to hear. So I try to listen more than I speak, you know, because, you know, you have to not be able to hear and be able to eat. You know, your spirit needs, you know, all it can to be able to fight, you know, this war that we're dealing with. But the Bible says we're fighting like against flesh and blood, and even principalities. And so I just thank God for just being to have an opportunity. I'm going to come on here a lot to be able to hear this video, man, and the cry that you have, man. I say, I love it, man. I love it, man. It's a blessing. And I just thank God for you, man, for all you're doing. And I was listening to a mother. She said she was having a hard time sleep. But, she just shut out all the TVs and get a Bible app and let the Word of God declare over her house every night before she goes to sleep. And that'll help, you know, let God's word play over your house and cut off all your TVs. And then that'll help, you know, sometimes we can open up stuff and allow stuff to come through certain stuff as we watch movies.
Yeah, really certain channels, yeah.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, especially through this new technology, you know, you have spirits that attach to a lot of these programs. And so you have to really be, you know, be led by the Spirit, what to watch it.
Amen.
But God, you got to have the God you sold. You really have the God with all diligence and really be led by the Bible. Say the steps of a good man are ordered by God. So we really have to make sure that we hear the voice of God. We really have to make sure we hear the voice of God. But I just thank God for you, man. I love y'all so much. Y'all have my prayers. Y'all have my prayers. It's just a blessing to hear the boldness. You know, you don't holler, hear the boldness, you know, to tell the truth about God's word. know, people, you know, take out what they want out the word, and we have to eat the whole rose. You can't take out what you want out the word. You got to eat the whole rose. So I just thank God for you. I just want to encourage you, man, that God is already done. You already healed by the name of Jesus, and you don't have to worry about nothing. As long as you're doing what God says do. He said, if you abide in me, anything you ask, it shall be given. So you already spoken faith.
Hallelujah.
Ain't hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. So you already have faith. It's because of your faith
that's right.
You already believe that God heals you. So you heal. The healing's already working because you already got faith. The faith is already operating in what you believe.
Yeah,
so that's how the Bible says it's impossible to please. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So thank God that you already have faith that God already healed, and God already, he already done it. He already done it. Because his word says if we delight ourselves in him, he would give our heart desire. Before we can think on, as soon as we think on something, when we obedient to what his word says, it already happened. It's already operating. You know, and so we
have to look for
it. That God's word is true.
Glory.
Forever
that's
settled
right.
In the heavens. So I just thank God, and I just want to continue listening to you guys, and I'm telling you, a thing that'll help the fans too is stay away from sweets. Try not to eat sweets. That kind of helps. You might have to worry about headache stuff, and you eat fruit and vegetables and drink a lot of water, and that'll help too on the fans. You know, stay away from sweets and candies and sugar stuff.
Yeah,
that'll help.
That's right.
The body, and you eat more fruit and green stuff like spinach and oranges and apples, you know, just like Daniel did. So it strengthens the body for a long fast, so that helps. So if you do, you know, that'll help, you know. And then, you know, try to sustain from meat if you can. But I just thank God for y'all. I love y'all so much. It's always a pleasure. I always put it on mute. My mom, like I said, she's a prophetess person. She always called me and said, son, you want to get on? I said, man, I'm always ready to hear the word. Man, I be... I travel all over the state. I'm a truck driver from state to state, and I've been all over the United States. I love the word of God, and I'm always hungry, and it's just a blessing, man. I'm telling you, I love hearing this program, man, and I just can't wait to get on. When she called me and said, son, you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. And I put it on mute, and then I just listen. So I just love y'all. Y'all be encouraged, and I pray for you. And you pray for me and watch God change things.
God bless.
Thank God for you. Thank God for you, Minister Jones. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you and the encouragement that you gave me. You brought tears. You brought tears to my eyes just to hear the encouragement.
Praise
to
you,
know
God.
That you're listening out there. And Father, we just thank you and praise you right now for Minister Jones, my brother. God, we ask that you continue to cover him. I know you're covering him. We ask you to cause your angels to go before his truck when he's going down those lonesome streets, oh God. You be the light on that street, oh God. We pray, Father God, that Lord God, when he go, God, that he be the light that shines in dark places, oh God. We are praying, Father God, that Lord God, that we know that no weapons formed against him will prosper. And every tongue that rises against him, God, we stand together with him to condemn those towns. Lord, let him be a light among the truck drivers. They would hear you coming out of him, oh God. And Father, continue to strengthen him even the more, oh God, to go deeper in you, God. Ah, my God, as he sow your word into his heart, oh God. Let his heart become the fabric for your word, oh God. And Father, we will praise you all the time. We'll give you glory, we'll give you honor, and we'll give you praise for what you're doing in this man's life. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We are such a pleasure to hear you come on. I thought it was another deacon on the line, but your voice so close to his voice. You know, it's so close. Thank you, Apostle, for letting me know it wasn't Deacon, because I thought it was Brother Deacon, but so glad to hear your voice. I see the number on there all the time, but we thank God for you coming on and listening to us and being part of what we're doing. We're just so awesome to let God use, for God to use us in such a way. You know, in 2017, I had to do this with immigration. I had to let them know, you know, I was arrested for something that happened in 1988. I was arrested in 2007 after coming back from doing a crusade in the Caribbean, and also marrying one of my daughters. and they charged me for something that happened in 1988. And they took all of my legal papers to stay in the country. And I had to pay $17,000. The people on the line know I'm just sharing this with Brother Jones, Minister Jones. And my father-in-law paid $17,000, $10,000 for the lawyer, and $7,000 for the lawyer and $10,000 for the bond for immigration. While I went into jail, I stayed in the immigration jail, ICE jail, for 66 days. I was locked up. And there was a black man in there, a fat black man. He's a fat guy, short guy, big mouth guy. He was working for ICE. And the devil was using them against me. You know, he's coming against me. You going out of here. Because he'll think you're a preacher inside here. See, I started two churches inside there, two body of believers, an African-American body of believers and a Latino body of believers. And I couldn't preach the Portuguese or Spanish, but I had a fellow from British Honduras where the preaching was translated for me. And while we were there, we did two holy communes. We used grape juice in the crackers that they gave us. The lady that was the warden in the jail, she says she's a lesbian. Her girlfriend works there, too. She was just one of the officers there. And she says, Pastor, I've never seen nobody come in this jail and did what you do. So we were commanding the devil to stand down. And we had people from Mexico that were Satanists. I mean, they draw pictures of Satan that they see in their mind. Okay, of Satan. And they would come and say they didn't believe in no God, no Jesus. Their God is Satan. And guess what? The same people got saved. Look, when I leave the jail, I got out of the jail because they said they were going to deport me back to the Caribbean, to Barbados. And I told them I wasn't going back. I was here on assignment. And to talk that I didn't have $1, not $1. I didn't know where I was going to get money from to make the bond or pay for a lawyer. But I said I was here on, I was locked up in here for an assignment. That's why God pulled this thing, allowed them to pull a trouble that I had from, that I was charged for something that didn't spend a day in jail for. Somebody had dropped a cocaine pipe. At the time, I used to use cocaine. I used to smoke crack cocaine. I used to smoke marijuana. I used to smoke onion dust. I used to drink Jack Daniels and corn liquor and all that stuff. You hear me talk about, I used to do all that stuff. But God allowed them to go back and pull a trial that I had that was I was vindicated from, that somebody had dropped one of them glass stems in the car that I was driving with. And when I got pulled over, they find it in the back on the floor. And they charged me for having cocaine, which is the residue inside the pipe stem. Well, that cost me $17,000. But I didn't have a dime, okay? Not a dime. And my father-in-law paid all the money. And when I came out of that jail, ICE jail, God had already received 68 people for the kingdom. Hear what I'm telling you. We made a license, ordained a young man that we were teaching while we were there. Sent him back. He got deported back to British Honduras to be a preacher for the kingdom, to win souls for the kingdom. We had 68 people came. I spent 66 days in jail for ICE, for Homeland Security, facing deportation. And God wins 68 souls for the kingdom. Don't tell me God won't do the impossible. God put me in jail to win those 68. For me, be the one to point those 68 people to him. Because I can't win no soul. I know the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. But God does all the winning. You just point them to him. No credit for that. I was just there. God took me there and he said, well, you're going to be here and I'm going to bring some people that I want to save. And I was the one that preached that, teach that gospel inside there. And let me tell you something, God moves so powerful that when service is going on, look, the warden had them turn off the TVs. That's how powerful God is. And she was a lesbian. She says, I've never seen anything happen like this in the jail. We were in jail. And I would, then I came out, my daughter came out here. My daughter died in 2017. She was 38 years, And Apostle Stuart can tell you, I did Blog Talk Radio, and then we did the homegrown service for my daughter. We went to Africa to do a crusade first, then one crusade, then another crusade. And we went down there in 2017 with a bad artery. One artery was 75% blocked. And when we got back, we understand that we had two arteries blocked. One was 75% and one was 25% or 30-35%, something like that. And I didn't know. I know about the first one. But when we came back here from the crusade, all the arteries was open. So I know what you're talking about, Minister Jones. God has already done it, because I tell the truth. Right now, and since we were talking this morning on the line, since I got up this morning, I don't feel no pain on the left side of my heart where that artery is. I feel no pain. So we know that God is already doing what he said he would do. You know, he said, if I trust him with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, in all my ways I acknowledge him, you see, he'll direct my path. And that's part of my path, for my heart to be open so I can do the kingdom work. So we're thanking God and praising God for you all on the line. The line is open. A lot of people on the line. So anybody else that want to come on and put a couple pennies in, I usually put a 75 cent or something like that. I call them two pennies. But come on and put your stuff in. You can encourage somebody out there, might hear a word that you share today, to draw somebody closer to Jesus. But that's what it's all about. Drawing somebody to Christ. Pointing them to Christ. He'll do the drawing. Just point them to him. The line is open. Okay, Bishop, a lot of people on the line. Nobody's saying anything. Go ahead and pray and close us out. I'm going to shave my face and sit down and relax, read a couple of scriptures before I go.
Drink a cup of what? Some Ruby?
I said I'm going to shave my face, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures before I go to see this doctor. He's just going to check me out. He's just the one family doctor. Just check me out and tell me I'm okay. Send me home.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, Father God, and we're all in the land of the living. Oh, Father God, we ask you once again to protect our apostle while he goes to be checked out. I'm sorry. I was under the impression that you had to go and have a procedure done. I don't know why, but... You won't have to have it. They're going to talk to you and do whatever they need to do to find out if there is a problem and what it is. And it's not going to be anything serious. I'm sorry, Pastor. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you, Pastor Linda. She's just saying she's concerned, you know, just having to do an EKG, and which they're going to do it more than likely, EKG. And it just takes about 5 minutes if it takes that long. I don't think it takes about 20 seconds now. Yeah, it doesn't take long. But everything's going to be fine, Apostle. I have this feeling, and I know it's from the Holy Spirit, that everything is going to be okay. It's just going to be... perfect. Just like the Lord intends it to be. Perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. And Father, we thank you for the gathering of the family of God, that we might hear this powerful word today. Hallelujah. We've heard words before many, many times, but every time it's something new to us. Something, I don't care how much you read a scripture, you can read it over and over every day. And every day, there's going to be another message in it. That's the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. So anyone else who's having any type of problems also, or think that they have problems, have yourself checked out. You know, it would behoove you to do that. And as I say every day, follow the laws of the land. It's trying to stop us the mask wearing, they're protesting it everywhere, and it's just a stupid thing. You know, if all the other countries in the world are putting on masks to to prevent these viruses from jumping from one person to the next. Why are the American people being like this? Because they don't think it's a fashion thing. You know, it's a coffin a fashion thing? You know, I mean, hey, you know, they want to die. You know, well, I don't want to go yet. Not till Father God calls me home. And anybody with any kind of sense will know we're here on a mission. And that mission is to gather souls for the kingdom. So, Father God, use us as long as it be your will, Father God. And you keep us from one day to the next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless. And we will speak to you on tomorrow.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We bless God and praise the Lord for each and every one that came on today and heard the word. We pray that the Lord, as the word gone forth today already, every comment that commented, we thank God and praise God. We know God is a sovereign God, and we know that he hears and he does things that he knows that need to be done, because he knows the end before the beginning. We're blessing God and praising God that somebody would hear the comments and they would hear the word, and that their lives would not be the same after hearing this word today, because God spoke. It wasn't David Callender. It was God that spoke through me. As I heard it last night, I was so excited. I get excited about the Lord for when the Lord is speaking to me. Because I said, Lord, I always tell the Lord, I said, Lord, if you don't speak, I can't speak. If you don't say, I can't say anything. And he usually speaks. He speaks to his people. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, as you and the bishop prayed. Lord, as we leave this line but not your presence, we pray, O God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Father, touch everyone under the sound of my voice that's dealing with any type of ailment, any type of infirmity, Lord. I ask you to heal right now, Lord Jesus, not tomorrow, not tonight. But right now, God, touch them on the inside that they'll know that it's you, Lord. Cause there be a burning on the inside, oh God. The fire of God on the inside to burn up every infirmity, Lord. I ask you, God, to quicken the dead. Oh, right now, Lord, quicken the dead in spirit, God. Open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. Cause the dumb to speak and the crippled to walk. Father, we ask you, God, to, oh God, bind up every witch, every warlock, every soothsayer right now, Jesus. And Father, as we leave this line, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we go and bless us when we come. Set us above and not beneath, God. Cause us to be the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. God, our only objective is to glorify you, God. Help us to help the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God. That you be glorified, Lord. That they will know that it's you that's using us to be a blessing unto them, oh God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Jesus just wants people to see him in us. His works are good. Our works are bad. But let them see his works through us, O God. Let us not work in the flesh, but let us work in the spirit. Pray for somebody today. Because the word that you speak in somebody's ear today will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Speak life and not death. Speak life and not death. Doesn't matter what their sin is. It's the soul that's important. Speak life to that soul. I love you guys so much, but God loves you more. God bless. I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.